Hey, what's up, guys? Today we're going to be talking about the Zodiac Killer, and I'm with my co-host, Ashley.
Hi!
Okay, so, without further ado, let's get right into it.
The Zodiac Killer liked to send letters to the police and to the local newspapers. He did this from 1969 to 1974. In these letters, he would send descriptions of what he did. So, like, in 1969, he sent to the local newspaper saying he killed two teenagers in 1968, the Christmas, around Christmas time, and gave details that only the killer would know. Like, he said exactly what she was wearing, what he was wearing, what position they were laying in, how it happened, that kind of stuff. Even with all the new technology that we have and, like, the new decoding systems that we have today in today's world, 2019, we still cannot decipher the Zodiac Killer's letters.
First murder, Lake Herman Road attack. On December 20th, 1968, Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday were going to go to a Christmas concert, but instead decided to go to Lover's Lane. They parked their car and nothing seemed mysterious or abnormal. Then, a vehicle parked next to them and a man got out. He had a gun, and Jensen saw this and decided to run before Faraday was shot in the head. Jensen was shot 5 times in the back while she tried to escape and ended up dying on the spot. Blue Springs attack, July 4th, 1969. Darlene Ferenzes and Michael Magano were parked at the murder site. In Ferenzes' car, until another car parked next to them and immediately drove off. Unsuspiciously, they continued having their date and another car parked behind them and a person got out. The man held a heavy arm and a flashlight. As he approached the car, Ferenzes unsuspectedly continued their conversation until she got shot multiple times, and some of the bullets going into Magno. As the killer walked away from the crime scene, he left to Magno's moaning, in which ensures that he survived. Number 3, Lake Barissa attack. Brian Hartnell and Solin Shepherd were picnicking at Lake Barissa until a strange man walked up to them. They got a description of him. He was a white male, around 170 pounds, 5'11", sunglasses, a hood covering his face, and a bib-like device that had a symbol on it, a circle with a cross through it. He approached them with a gun, and Hartnell thought it could be a .45. The hooded man claimed that he was an escaped convicted prisoner with a two-word name from either Colorado or Montana. He told Shepard to tie up Hartnell before he tied her up. He checked Hartnell's bonds and discovered she tied his hands too loose. The killer stabbed Hartnell 6 times and Shepard 10. The killer then traveled 500 yards, 460 meters, to Hartnell's car and drew a cross circle symbol on the car door with a black felt tip marker and wrote, "Valjo, 12/20/68, 7/4/69, 6/30, by knife," and I quote. These symbols, not symbols, but this message was the two previous murders, which is why we can say that he killed those people. At 7:40 p.m., the killer called the Napa County Sheriff's Office from a payphone to report his latest crime. Shepard died 2 days later after being in a coma, but Hartnell survived the incident and was able to retell the tale. Now, for the final crime that he committed. Well, we say the final crime, but he's claimed that he has killed way more than 5. And it's number 4, the Presidio Heights attack. 2 weeks later than the Lake Barissa attack, on October 11th, 1969, a letter from the Zodiac Killer contained a shirt sample from Paul's with Paul's blood, which is he was a taxi driver, which the Zodiac Killer murdered. He supposedly entered the car driven by Paul Stein in San Francisco, and he requested to be taken to Washington and Maple Street in Presidio Heights. For reasons unknown, Stein drove one block past Maple to Terry Street, and the passenger then shot Stein once in the head. He took Stein's wallet and his car keys and a piece of his shirt. And as this was happening, two kids alerted the police and watched as a man wiped down the cab before walking away towards the proceed one block north and two blocks from the crime scene. Folk estimated that the man had to be 35 to 45 years old, although the dispatcher alerted for a African-American male. They drove right past him without stopping. They were this close to stopping the Zodiac Killer's reign, and they didn't. Now, we can go on and talk about the Modesto attack on March 22nd, 1970. Kathleen Joan was driving from Sam Berding to Pethenham. She was 7 months pregnant and had her 10-month-old daughter next to her. While driving down the highway to Modesto, a car behind them began honking its horn and flashing its headlights. She pulled off the road cautiously and stopped. The man in the car parked behind her approached the car and stated that her rear end light was out, and he offered to fix the light. After she thanked the man and immediately left, her wheel fell off. The man asked if they wanted a ride to the nearest gas station for help and aid, and she said yes. Getting in with her child, they drove past multiple gas stations. Whenever she had asked why we weren't stopping, he changed the subject. After a while of feeling unsafe, she, with the baby, jumped out of the car and into a nearby field. After a while of the man saying, "I won't hurt you, it's all right," he gave up. She went to the police and said the sketch of Paul Stein's killer was her captive. And that's how we know another attack was made.
After the Zodiac Killer had shot Paul, the taxi driver, he then proceeded to send a letter to the police with a piece of Paul's bloody shirt to say that it was him that killed him. The Zodiac Killer loved to play tricks and to threaten the police and to taunt the police. So one of the taunts was that he wanted them to decode the messages. So in English that he had wrote, "A bomb has been set. You must decode this message before fall if you do not want it to go off." Meaning that the instructions on how to disarm and where the bombs is was in that code, but they were never able to solve that decrypted message. So we don't know if the bomb had gone off or if he was just messing with them. Think about the Zodiac Killer. Is that he taunts the police. Because at the bottom of all these letters, he had these cryptic messages. And he claimed that if they could solve it, that it would reveal his identity. The first letter with the cryptic messages was published in one of the newspapers. So this husband and wife saw the cryptic message in the newspaper and decided they wanted to try to solve it. They decided to see if they can get in the head of the Zodiac Killer. So they figured that in the letter, they would have the word kill, or killing people, in it. They also figured it would start off with I. Using that knowledge of how the kind of Zodiac Killer would think, they were able to solve the first cryptic message. It read, quote, "I like killing people because it is so much fun." It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest, because man is the most dangerous animal of all. That was the one and only letter they were able to decode from the Zodiac Killer. The other ones, he changed his code and how he wrote it because of them. And now, like, say it's the wood kill. If the wood kill came up, the second L would be have a different symbol than the first L. So it makes it much more difficult to decode. Even with all the new technology that we have and, like, new decoding systems that we have today in today's world, 2019, we still cannot decipher the Zodiac Killer's letters.
And with that, we conclude this video. I mean, podcast. This is a podcast. Nobody knows if the Zodiac Killer is still alive or if he killed himself or if he died of old age. We don't know. And I don't think we ever will know. The world is a very fascinating place in the fact that one man can kill another person and remain nameless until his death. And that is very scary to think about. This man was a terrible, terrible person, and he remained unknown, which is absolutely terrifying. But what do you guys think? Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much for listening. The song that played at the beginning is Set It Free. It's a free song, but yeah, thank you so much for listening to our amazing storytelling, and Ashley for giving this crucial information about the letters. Yeah, thank you.